Dr. Anderson will be back up here in just a little while, and we'll have time for questions at the end as well. So if you have some questions that you didn't get to ask, just hold those thoughts and we'll get to them later. I'm going to talk about herd health planning with your veterinarian. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the reason for going through the process of developing a herd health calendar and why that's an important process for you to go through. First of all, this herd health program is not simple to develop. It really is fairly complex. If you look at the ranching enterprise and all the things that go on the ranch, there's so many things going on that are interconnected. And just if you just focus just on the health aspect, you have to interweave immunology, economics, management. All these have to go together to have a program that's really simple and fits the operation. One of my big pet peeves is standardized protocols. I think standardized vaccination protocols do more of a disservice than a service because they're so often misused. Every one of you in here, if you were to go through a series of standardized questions, would have a different set of recommendations for your unique operation. No one in here would have the same program. So what we really need is a series of standardized questions that create a unique set of protocols. And that's where we need to get to with our health program. Now, some of the reasons for going through this process, and really what I'm talking about is spending about an hour with your veterinarian, sitting down with the veterinarian, not at the chute, but hopefully over the kitchen table or in their conference room or whatever, but really sitting down and focusing on this because you can't do it with a lot of distractions like we tend to do. First of all, it's a planning tool or reminder system. The companion animal component of veterinary medicine has basically been built around reminders to remind you when vaccinations and procedures need to be done. And we really haven't had a tool to do that that allows for reminders ahead of key handling events in the ranching operation. And that's something that hopefully will be coming forth very soon. Improved communication. Not only communication between you and your veterinarian, but also it allows for improved communication at the ranch level with all the employees at the ranch. They know what's going on. Everyone's on the same page. It's an educational tool. I've never sat down with a producer and developed a herd health management plan if there hadn't been a lot of education take place. We get into a lot of different areas as we go through this. There's opportunities to point out management improvements. I just have a few examples up here. For instance, the need for pre-breeding vaccination as opposed to only vaccinating at preg check time. Springtime deworming. We could go on and on. The list would be quite long. Herd health calendar allows us to improve efficiency of a herd health product need. We order the proper product. I was in practice for 11 years prior to teaching at university and then joining industry. And one thing that really aggravated me was to make specific product recommendations for one of my customers, and then they go somewhere else to buy that product, which that was fine. I didn't mind going somewhere else. But at the point of purchase, they would say, well, use this, it's just as good. Well, that's not what I recommended, and it wasn't just as good. There were differences. So I think if we have it written down, it's sort of a tangible document of specific recommendations, then we can get the right product. It also helps reduce product confusion. The last time I looked at the compendium of veterinary products, there was over 400 vaccines listed, commercial vaccines listed for cow-calf operations. I don't know how we can make any sense out of that. There's just so many products, so many combinations, new ones coming on all the time. It's very difficult unless we sit down and really think about which of these specific products fits our operation and our management style. There's also an opportunity when we go through this process of avoiding some potential disasters, really, complications, interactions. For instance, use of gram-negative vaccines. We have a rule of thumb, you never want to use more than 3 gram-negative vaccines in a beef animal at any one time. And oftentimes I see that gram-negative vaccines are, there's nothing wrong with gram-negative vaccines, you just don't want to put too many of them together into one program. Placement of modified live vaccines. There's a time and a place for modified live vaccines. We can't give modified live vaccines to pregnant cows that have not been previously immunized with a labeled product. There's considerations on how close to estrus we can give a modified live, particularly the first time the animal has seen that vaccine. Those are all part of the discussion as we go through this plan. Another distinct advantage is if you sit down and you look at what are the animal health needs in that operation for that year, there's oftentimes the potential for cost savings. Maybe entering into a yearly contract with a pharmaceutical company. And then finally, putting together a herd health calendar is often the first step in developing a preventive partnership with your veterinarian that can expand into many other areas and be a very mutually beneficial relationship. So I'm going to go through the 9 steps to developing a herd health calendar. And nothing I'm going to put up here is rocket science. It's just a kind of a methodical way of going back about doing this process. First is to work with your cattle-oriented veterinarian. And there was a survey done in NOMS about 10 years ago now that showed that 2/3 of the producers interviewed rated the veterinarian as the most important source of information for their operation. And I think maybe the only reason it was 2/3 is because the other third didn't have a veterinarian they could call. And Dr. Anderson relayed that information, and certainly we don't have time in this talk to dwell on that too much, but there is a definite veterinary shortage. Any of you in the room that have a cattle-oriented veterinarian that you're comfortable with working with, you should count your blessings, because I talk to people every day who do not have that, and there are more and more areas of the country that are now underserved. So if you have a veterinarian, use him and keep him employed. And I think the best way for you and the veterinarian to have a long relationship is not that the traditional services, the fire engine services, it's not that those aren't needed, they are, but we have to expand those services into more of a preventive role, both for the benefit of the producer and the benefit of the veterinarian as well. Number 2 is determine the optimal time of the year for calving and breeding season. Now I realize in many operations this is etched in stone and there's no discussion here. But I think just occasionally reviewing your program and looking at, am I really breeding at the right time for my management and forage resources? Is it really the right time? And I think occasionally going through that process is helpful. Number 3 is determine the length of your calving breeding season. We talk a lot about the advantages you have with uniformity of calf crop, reduced labor input. But one thing that we really don't spend enough time talking about is to have an effective health management program, you have to have a controlled breeding season. To have a truly effective program. I'm not saying that if you have a year-round calving season that vaccines aren't effective. They are. But if you want to get the biggest bang for your buck, you'll have a controlled season where you can target those products in time where you'll get the maximum benefit. Number 4 is become more knowledgeable about the specific diseases, the specific parasites that occur in your geographic area. I've had customers in the past that are on both ends of the spectrum, as I'm sure Dr. Anderson has, those that do nothing and those that do everything. Every product that comes out, they go ahead and use it because it's available. So if it's available, they need it. Somewhere in the middle is where we need to be, and that's where we need to rely on the recommendations of our veterinarians for a particular area. And changes need to be made. We need to be constantly looking at how we can improve our program. For instance, improvements in BVD vaccines that have occurred over the last few years. Improved knowledge of BVD may impact how we put together a program. In areas throughout the South where we have rising feral hog populations, we may need to look at our lepto immunization. Maybe once a year is not enough. Maybe we need twice a year in areas that historically have relied on one time a year lepto vaccination. Then the next step is determine the best time to administer these procedures for each disease condition. Okay? And just very simply, it's prior to exposure. Pre-breeding, pre-weaning, pre-calving. That's when we get the biggest bang for our buck with our animal health input. Now, when I was teaching in veterinary school, I had fourth-year students go through an exercise where they would list all the diseases that affected cattle, all the products that were available, that were labeled for those, and then create a calendar. And that calendar would have, they'd handle their cattle once or twice a month for the whole year. Okay, a lot of these are not rural students that really knew what it took to put cattle through the chute. I'd let them go through that exercise and I'd say, okay, now you've got to take that information and you can only work those cows once or twice a year. That's where it gets difficult. Anybody can go through and just pick out diseases and then put the solution down for that. But as far as putting it all together into a program that fits your operation, that's really where you need to work very closely with the veterinarian. Number six is make sure that we select products that have research-proven efficacy and data. And I've got this pen of cattle. This is not a breed statement. This is just a lack of uniformity statement. Look here on the left versus the pen on the right. Obviously, our industry is moving towards more consistency and uniformity. We also need to look at our animal health programs and make sure that they are uniform and consistent and that we can rely on the products that we're using. Just because a vaccine is licensed and works, I mean, just because a vaccine is licensed and available does not mean that it works. We have a lot of products out there that are very marginal. And part of the reason is that USDA licensing requirements are really not that difficult in terms of field efficacy. They rely mostly on testing for safety and purity. So anytime you have the opportunity to get more information on a product, peer-reviewed published research is the best way. And unfortunately, many products that we use, there's not a lot of information out there. So we have to go with the best information we have. But I think any time in this industry where we're becoming more and more data-driven, any time we have good data on a particular product that surpasses another product, don't listen to the salesperson just say, well, this is just as good. Look at the data and go with the one that has the best data. When we read the label, it's not just whether a product is approved or not approved. There's levels of approval. For instance, there's products that are labeled for the prevention of infections for diseases like leptospirosis bovis, whereas other products may only be listed as aids in the prevention. You could go on down to different diseases and you can find some differences. I'm not saying that this is just the end-all way to judge a product, but it's another piece of information to look at, to read the label and see what specific indications are. Next step is determine which routine health management practices are performed in the operation. Maybe it's the time of year that branding occurs, or the time of year that calves are weaned, and any kind of a handling event that's already taking place, and we look at how can we package these products and services into that limited number of events. And again, this is where we have to have some compromise, we have to make some good decisions on how we prioritize the protection against different diseases. So this is where it all comes together. We put it all together into a one-page summary calendar and or flow protocol that summarizes the health needs of that operation for the year. And I like to see these where they're just put on one page, where they can be possibly laminated and put up on the wall for people to see. If you have a large organization, make sure everybody that handles the cattle has this in their possession. And then certainly, working with your veterinarian, the veterinarian has a copy, and you have a copy, and you're on the same page and working closely on making sure that the calendars are kept up to date. Providing periodic updates. This is number 9. Extremely important. Don't just meet with your veterinarian for that hour and devise this program and then 10 years later still have the same program. I see that happen as well. We're constantly updating our animal health products, developing newer and better products. There's times when we get new knowledge that tells us that we need to do things a little differently. So it's good to every year look over your program and tweak it just a little bit. Now I'm going to walk through putting together one of these herd health calendars, and please don't put any stock in the assumptions that I have up here. It may or may not apply to your operation. That's not important. These are just some assumptions, and I'll show you based on these assumptions how we put together a fairly detailed vaccination protocol for this particular operation. For an example, I've got a heifer breeding season, 45 days, 15 days ahead of the cow season, which is 60 days, processing in April, weaning in October, and then preg checking when the calves are weaned in October. Okay? I think this would be a fairly typical Northern Plains type of health management program. Obviously, the program builds around the breeding season and calving season, so we plug those in, go to our gestation table, plug in our calving season, and this is what we build our entire program around. Now, I will say one thing, and I'm sure Dr. Anderson will like this, or any veterinarians in the room, and even in my own operation, where I give projected calving dates to my partner, and they check them really closely. And if this cow or heifer calves over here, don't assume the veterinarian's wrong. Just assume it's biologic variability. Give them a little more leeway, okay? This study I saw in Grover's Journal, I had traditionally just said that cows would calve about 2 weeks, as long as they were within 2 weeks of the breeding date. You know, in a situation where you breed 100 cows the same day, and they'll calve over about a 2 week period. Well, according to this study, and this was in Grover's, this is just a summary of that study, but 98% of them calved actually in a 28 day window. So I've kept this, and for me personally, every time I'm a few weeks off, one that I've preg tested, I always get this out. Makes me feel better. Okay, and we put down weaning in October. I want to digress just a little bit on weaning and talk about some recent data that we have on pre-shipment health programs. And I think really with our vaccination programs at weaning, we need to just eliminate the word premium from our vocabulary and talk about avoidance of discount. And maybe this may just be a ticket for market entry. Over the last 12 years, Pfizer Animal Health and Dr. Mike King at Colorado State University have collected and analyzed data from the Superior Livestock Field, primarily the large sales in the summer. There will be 6 to 8 of those sales that are mostly sport contract fall delivery sales. In this data set, there's over 3 million head of cattle represented. To my knowledge, it's the largest data set available. It shows the differentiation of VAC 45, VAC 34, and no vaccination information. And I think it's quite encouraging that we have this positive trend upward. In 2004, we had almost an $8 per hundred weight advantage for calves that were in the VAC 45 program. Slipped a little in 05, but back almost to $8 again in 06. So there is a definite positive trend upward. But this might even be more exciting. If you look at back in 1995, there was 45% of the calves sold in Superior in these sales did not vaccinate with any viral vaccine. They didn't list any viral vaccine in the catalog. And by 2005, 2006, it's about 2%. So I think we can say we're making tremendous progress. And this wouldn't occur if there wasn't not only perceived value, but there has to be some value being captured by both the seller and buyer for this trend to continue. So what would we look for in a vaccination program at this time? A modified live IBR, BVD, PI3, BRSV vaccine. And certainly it's given its pre-weaning stage, it has to be an approved product. A lepto, which includes leptohardiovoas for replacement heifers, Mannheimia hemolytica, clostridial, dewormer, and then if they're kept in the VAC 45 program for 45 days, then they'd need to be boosted again with some modified live. And we recommend also vaccinating the lepto in replacement cattle. We plug in the pre-breeding heifer vaccination program. And I'd like to see two modified live IBR-BDD vaccines given prior to breeding. And we need to choose products that have label claims for fetal protection from IBR, BDD type 1 and type 2, and label claims that allow us to later on use that product in calves nursing pregnant cows. And again, Vibrio, Lepto, Lepto includes Lepto Hard to Bovis. There's tremendous carryover effect, even in herds with long extended seasons where we're not able to use modified live vaccines in the cow herd. If we can vaccinate our heifers, get at least two modified lives in prior to breeding, we have a tremendous carryover effect. It may last in, at least in some animals for several years. And bull breeding soundness exam. Another good opportunity to input animal health products. And I actually see a lot of bulls that are tested and not vaccinated. But if you go to the trouble of testing those bulls, then that should be a routine before they're let out of the chute, and go ahead and vaccinate it. It's a great time. You're doing it prior to the breeding season. That's the time when these products need to be administered. And basically, the program that's recommended for bulls should be identical to what we recommend for the cow herd. Pre-breeding modified live IBR-BDD, the five-way Lepto, including Hardville Bovis, and Vibrio. In cow pre-breeding, you notice I have pre-breeding in parentheses because even with the 60-day breeding season, you can see here this will be ending the cow season at about April the 9th and then beginning the next season, May 1. So you really have a very narrow window in there when all the cows are open that you could on label give modified live vaccine. So I think this is another good reason why just laying all this out in the calendar helps you understand how critical the timing is if you're going to move to a pre-breeding program. Again, that's just the same program that we said for the pre-breeding of the heifer. Now, calf processing, and I have this in April, and in addition to the clostridial that we routinely give at branding time, I think some thought should be given, if you're not already doing this, to giving a respiratory viral at that time. And preferably a modified live respiratory viral that's labeled and you have the cow previously immunized. BDD and a dewormer. There's some studies at A&M that show deworming these nursing calves. And studies that they did added an 18-pound advantage in weaning. So we know there's some benefits. I know that's that particular environment, but I think it could be duplicated in other areas. Essentially, what we're doing with this early calf vaccination is priming the pump. I was taught in veterinary school that vaccinating these calves at just a couple of months of age really didn't do a lot of good because maternal antibodies would block the vaccine. But in reality, more recent work has shown that we have a priming effect. We create memory, and even though we may not be able to detect a humoral response or a titer response, we're creating a cell-mediated or CMI response, and those calves respond much better at weaning when they're vaccinated again. So there is an advantage to getting that viral vaccination in those calves at an early age. And then lastly, I have cow program at wean. And there's a very good reason why I have dominoes up here, because it really depends. What we give at wean preg check depends on what we did earlier. If we had a pre-breeding vaccination program and we gave our viral vaccinations prior to breeding, we gave our Vibrio and Lepto prior to breeding, really the only thing we might need to do is booster that Lepto at this time, other than a dewormer. So administer another Lepto. But if this is the only time that we're going to work the cows, we're only going to work them one time a year. If they've had a labeled modified live IBR BVD within the last 12 months, then you can vaccinate that pregnant cow, and you can give your Vibrio Lepto at this time. Now, one caution that I give you here on this is most of our combination viral VL5 products have a fairly short duration of immunity for the Vibrio component. Maybe 4 months is about what we expect on those combination products. So if you're vaccinating preg set time, and that's the only time the cows are vaccinated, you may want to look at a Vibrio product with a longer duration of immunity, and it may have to be a single antigen Vibrio product. One of my students, when I was teaching in veterinary school, took this picture. I didn't even know that it was taken until a few days later, and I was pregging a cow and talking on the cell phone, and even though I was already out of practice, this was a pretty typical picture for a practitioner. And I think this may be where a lot of our animal health advice is given. We're busy, we're trying to multitask, and have somebody on the line, they call and say, "Doc, what do I need to get? I got these cows, I'm about to vaccinate, what do I need to give them?" And that's the extent of our health program. And we really got to do better than that. And I just don't think that we can do it with all the circus atmosphere that goes around with things that we do. We've got to set aside a time to sit down and work through this program. And basically, this is what we wind up with. It's not rocket science. We've been talking about it for decades. But yet, and I'm not going to ask you how many of you have a herd health counter that's been developed for your unique operation. But all of you need, if you don't have one, you need one. And I'd encourage you to get with your veterinarian as soon as possible. It's a great time of year to do it. It's January. Veterinarians are usually not quite as busy this time of year as they're going to be. Hopefully you're not quite as busy yet as you're going to be later in the year. So it's a good time to sit down and do some planning. Okay. I could entertain a few questions before I turn it over to Dr. Anderson. Any questions about... yes, sir. Okay, great question. Do you need to vaccinate, and make sure I'll rephrase the question, make sure it's what your question was. Do you need to vaccinate cows every year with modified live vaccine? Yeah. Okay. There are individual animals that will have more than a year immunity from some of the vaccines that we use. But we don't know which ones they are, and we don't have any way of knowing that. So my recommendation is just do it annually. Because until we have some method to know which animals have responded with a longer duration of immunity, and also it depends on which you're talking about. If you're talking about the modified live vaccines and the cows, the heifers that are vaccinated twice prior to breeding their first year, some of those are going to have longer than a year of immunity. But we can't differentiate which one. Yeah, and the assumption that there's natural immunity combined with the vaccine is a valid assumption. And certainly they're at much lower risk than would be a younger animal. But my personal preference would be to continue to vaccinate even when they're older. But on the other hand, that's a whole lot better situation than vaccinating inappropriately as a heifer, say with a kill vaccine one time or something like that. I mean, you're... Yes. Well, if you're gonna write, I mean, yes, sir. Yeah, there's no question that you get the biggest bang for your buck in young growing cattle, but there's it's really hard to do. It's really hard to do dewormer studies where you get statistical differences. But if you look at all the data that's out there and you combine the studies together, there's always the majority of cases there's a trend. There's a positive trend towards deworming cows and calves. But I know that's controversial and in some areas. But I think I'm convinced with looking at all the data that deworming mature cows is cost-effective.
Well, we're running
I think you should follow your veterinarian's advice. I mean, from a practical standpoint, that's probably adequate. I know there's some situations where even postseason just physical exams might be indicated. Well, I think if it was absolutely ideal, you would do it before each season. But I think doing it annually is certainly, I mean, that's so far superior to what's done in most cases. There's lots and lots of bulls that are never tested at all. That may be tested time of purchase and they're never tested. So once a year, I think you're doing a good job there. I mean, we always get better, but from a practical standpoint, they're hard to handle too. Well, if you're vaccinating prior to the breeding season, one thing you might want to consider is using the product. Jerry, you couldn't hear the question. Okay, the question was he's gone to a split season and with the modified viral and he's wondering about whether he needs to now give the leptovibrio twice instead of one. Okay, is that okay? For the ones that get the Vibrio just prior to the breeding season, the combination product will give you long enough immunity to protect in that early part of the breeding season. If the only time they're getting that product is at preg test time, my preference would be a product like Vibrin that has a longer duration of immunity, but you have to give it in a separate injection.
That's what we have to do.
And again, I'd refer to your veterinarian and what he's seeing as far as Vibrio in that area, because there are certainly some differences. But in general, I usually just routinely recommend. Any other questions? Okay, I want to turn it.